First, let's take a look at our headlines for this hour.
Cuban ministers join the president in discussing energy conservation measures.
The Cuban Union of Journalists accuses Twitter of cyber warfare to silence the island's stance on U.S. aggressions.
U.N. Secretary General says Netanyahu's annexation plan would violate international law.
Argentinian protesters occupy Buenos Aires over food crisis.
And now the news in detail.
Ministers of the sectors in Cuba responsible for mitigating the effects of the fuel shortage joined President Miguel Díaz-Canel on Wednesday on the national TV program The Roundtable in reassuring the population that there is no need to panic. Energy and Mines Minister Raúl García Barreiro said liquefied gas is guaranteed as the basis for cooking food. He explained that the fuel whose shortage is most severely felt, diesel, currently participates only in 10% of electricity production and that photovoltaic parks contribute to the national grid is now over 2%. He added that the residential sector currently consumes 60% of all the energy produced and called for measures to be taken to save electricity during peak time. There will be blackouts, but they will not be as long nor as intense as those of the special period, he said. Meanwhile, the Minister of Economy and Planning, Alejandro Gil, said that production demand should not coincide with peak load time and priority will be given to diesel supplies aimed at guaranteeing food delivery to the population. Gil Fernandez ratified that authorities anticipate that the expected gross domestic product growth will be met, and he ensured that there were enough products to supply the population. So the issue now is about guaranteeing those products reach the population. There is no fear. We can guarantee, and we are working so that the economy reaches its goals in 2019, he said.
Ensuring the transportation of fuels and food and enhancing rail transport, in addition to ensuring airport operations, are the measures that the Minister of Transportation, Eduardo Rodriguez de Villa, described during the program. He spoke of the impact on public transportation in recent weeks and the need to respond quickly with rail transport with the least amount of impact on passengers. He mentioned that at least one daily departure will be maintained between Havana and the provinces, starting from the high consumption of this modality. The minister urged drivers, especially those of state-owned vehicles, to practice carpooling as a measure to alleviate public transportation. On his special TV appearance on Wednesday, the president announced that while the fuel situation persists, the levels of economic activity will be adjusted. A greater efficiency will be sought in the transporting of products out of ports. There will be greater planning on the use of means of transport. The peaks of energy demand will be displaced, and some effective strategies that were used in the special period will be implemented. He added that the measures include changing work hours, the implementation of work at home, and temporarily suspending some investments. Programs will be developed to guarantee food, housing, computerization, exports, renewable energy sources, tourism, transportation, and national production. This Thursday, September 12th, President Miguel Díaz-Canel and the ministers will continue providing information to the Cuban population on the fuel situation, resulting from the increased U.S. hostility against Cuba. Radio Havana Cuba will be broadcasting live, and our English service will bring you details of their statements.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has censured Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's election pledge to annex the Jordan Valley in the occupied West Bank, terming it a gross violation of international law. Such steps, if implemented, would constitute a serious violation of international law, Guterres spokesman Stefan Duharik said in a statement on Wednesday. The UN chief said such a move would undermine chances for peace in the Middle East region. It would be devastating to the potential of reviving negotiations and regional peace while severely undermining the viability of the two-state solution, he said. Netanyahu on Tuesday vowed to annex the Jordan Valley in the West Bank if he emerges victorious in the snap legislative elections of September the 17th. Netanyahu's pledge was roundly condemned by the Palestinians, as well as countries in the Middle East, including Jordan, Iran, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. Netanyahu hinted that U.S. President Donald Trump's yet-to-be-unveiled peace proposal on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict would allow the regime to annex the Jordan Valley, which accounts for a quarter of the West Bank and the northern Dead Sea.
Several thousand protesters camped Wednesday in downtown Buenos Aires to demand that Argentina declare a food emergency as the economic crisis deepened just weeks ahead of the presidential election. The demonstrators, who plan to camp for 48 hours in the heart of the city, say rampant inflation has left many of the poorest Argentinians struggling to buy food. Organizer Eduardo Bellaboni said that Argentina is devastated by inaction, hunger, and poverty, and we demand answers that live up to the situation. He added, "We want social programs. We want to increase allocations for existing programs and increase food rations in schools." Clashes broke out with police as demonstrators tried to block public transport networks. The country has been in a recession since last year, and it is one of the highest inflation rates in the world, running at more than 54%.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us here on the radio. You may be listening on the FM dial here in Havana at 102.5 FM, and of course our international shortwave radio frequencies heard around the world. Now let's go back over to our news. Here's Gerwin Jones.
U.S. President Donald Trump's favorite social media platform, Twitter, has democratically decided to block dozens of accounts of Cuban media outlets, ministries, websites, and journalists. The measure coincided with a special TV appearance Wednesday evening by Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel to address the energy crisis the island is facing due to Washington's stepped-up hostility. As of 8 o'clock Thursday morning, the Twitter accounts of Radio Vancouver in Spanish and English were suspended, as well as others. A statement issued by the Cuban Union of Journalists, UPEC, categorically condemned the move. The document added that this is not the first time Cuban Twitter users report problems logging into their accounts and receive messages that their accounts have been blocked and they should follow the procedure to recover them. What is new is the massiveness of this obviously planned act of cyber warfare, which seeks to limit the freedom of expression of Cuban institutions and citizens, and to silence the leaders of the revolution. This according to UPEC.
Venezuelan Foreign Affairs Minister Jorge Arreaza issued a statement Wednesday to denounce the intention to activate the Inter-American Reciprocal Assistance Treaty against Venezuela, pushed by a group of governments in the Organization of American States. It is painful that countries which were invaded by the United States and whose peoples were massacred by the application of the treaty, endorsed today a similar crime against a brother country in a clearly invalid session of the OAS. At the OAS Assembly, 12 countries voted in favor of the implementation of an initiative against Venezuela, saying the country represents a threat to the security of the region, after Colombia accused Venezuela of allegedly protecting armed groups within its territory. Venezuela has rejected the accusation and pointed to the lack of evidence, affirming these allegations are nothing more than an excuse for military intervention.
The U.S. Supreme Court on Wednesday granted a request by President Donald Trump's administration to fully enforce a new rule that would curtail asylum applications by immigrants at the U.S.-Mexico border, a key element of his hardline immigration policies. The court said the rule, which requires most immigrants who want asylum to first seek safe haven in a third country through which they had traveled on their way to the United States, could go into effect as litigation challenging its legality continues. Liberal Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg dissented. Once again, the executive branch has issued a rule that seeks to upend long-standing practices regarding refugees who seek shelter from persecution, Sotomayor wrote. The rule, unveiled on July the 15th, requires most immigrants who want U.S. asylum to first seek asylum in a third country they had traveled through on their way to the United States.
Scotland's highest court has declared British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's decision to suspend Parliament for 5 weeks to be unlawful because it had the purpose of stymieing Parliament. But it remains unclear what impact the ruling will have. Critics of Johnson have accused him of suspending Parliament in order to limit the ability of lawmakers to pass a plan ahead of October 31st, when Britain is scheduled to leave the European Union.
Renowned British fashion designer Vivienne Westwood has broken her media silence on Julian Assange's imprisonment, telling Russia Today that the solitary confinement in which he is kept for no reason has taken a toll on his health. She spoke after visiting Assange in Her Majesty's prison Belmarsh, where he's been held after the UK police dragged him from the Ecuadorian embassy back in April. Arranging a visit to Britain's maximum security prison took 1 month, and during this time the whistleblower was held in solitary confinement, Westwood told Russia Today. I was thrilled to see him. He lost weight and the state he's in. It's a wonder. I don't know how I would cope. Westwood, a friend of Assange, has consistently spoken out against the way the UK dealt with him before and after his arrest, which ended nearly 7 years in exile inside the Ecuadorian mission. Hours after his arrest, he was found guilty of skipping bail in London in 2012. Separately, Assange also faces charges in the United States, which revolve around his contacts with fellow whistleblower Chelsea Manning, who exposed to WikiLeaks the extent of American war crimes in Iraq. He must not be extradited to the United States, Westwood argued. The man, believe it or not, faces 175 years in jail, and that's totally out of proportion. How crazy is all that?
And those are some of the stories we're following for you this hour here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Cuban ministers join the president in discussing energy conservation measures.
The Cuban Union of Journalists accuses Twitter of cyber warfare to silence the island's stance on U.S. aggressions.
UN Secretary General says Netanyahu's annexation plan would violate international law.
Argentinian protesters occupy Buenos Aires over food crisis.